Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
You'd like to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to begin a journey through Galatians on Sunday nights together, and so we'll be starting at the very beginning of that letter. It's good to see everyone here this evening. There is a lot taking place. We've already mentioned the youth group enjoying the area wide over at Southgate. We're grateful for that and for the focus that that helps give not just our youth group, but youth groups from all over. And we're also thankful that our tech class this afternoon got off to a good start. Appreciate Chad Landman doing that tech for seniors class. And that is being recorded, so if you missed it and you want some of that content, that'll be available for you. And we'll also meet next Sunday at the Fellowship Hall, and so grateful for Chad taking that on and sharing that with us. We mentioned already the fact that there will be some updates later on as it gets closer for sorting and packing buckets for Ukraine. But if you haven't already gotten a chance to go to our Facebook group, there are pictures of some buckets. It's not quite ours. Our first container has arrived and is being going through the customs process and being transported where it needs to be. But you can see some pictures of families receiving buckets. And it's just a really neat reminder of what we're trying to do and what those who have organized this are doing. And so be on the lookout for ways that you can help. We've got a lot of empty buckets that are ready once everything's sorted to be packed, and so we'll be relying on everyone to help us make that a reality. We also mentioned our spiritual growth camp that's coming up. Along with that, our future ministry camp is taking place. The future ministry camp starts that Sunday afternoon and will end on Wednesday night, and then spiritual growth camp will take place during the day on Monday and Tuesday. And so both of those are excellent opportunities we want to spread the word about. Now is the time to register, especially since we'll be providing a lot of meals and things for future ministry camp. Now's the time, if you know someone who's interested in coming, to do that online. And also, we will be asking some of you in Bible classes to help provide some of the meals. The way we've done that with everything the last few years is just taking up donations in order to purchase food at various points during the week. And so be on the lookout in your Sunday morning classes for some opportunities to do that. But as we think about all of these things, tonight we're starting a new series through Galatians. And if you had to look through this letter and pick just one or two themes that seem to rise to the surface, one theme that seems to come to the surface over and over again is freedom. What does it mean to really be free? When you hear the word freedom, what is it that comes in your mind? What picture do we have? Well, in Galatians, there's a specific way in which Paul is, by inspiration, telling Christians here they needed to be freed from some perceptions, some teaching that was getting people not only confused, but also getting them to lose sight of the real gospel message. Now, you may have had to read growing up books by George Orwell. I did in high school. One of those was Animal Farm. And maybe you've read Animal Farm before. It's kind of a fable, sort of a satire that describes what it's like when a group of farm animals decide that they're going to lead a revolt. They don't like the way things are running on the farm. They're going to lead a revolt, and they're going to be the ones in charge and put together a beautiful society. It doesn't quite work out the way that they envisioned it. And even as a high schooler, when I was reading it, I could tell this was about something other than just a lot of animals. And if you look historically at where that takes place in history, it seems like there's a lot about the Russian Revolution that's in there. He's making a lot of points satirically. But as the story goes, the first American publisher that received this book, Animal Farm, and read it, rejected publication on the grounds that there just wasn't really a market in America for animal stories. He looked at that and all he saw was just an animal story. Well, we're not really interested in that. He missed the point that Orwell was trying to make. Have you ever had one of those experiences where as soon as something comes out of your mouth, you realize, I think I missed the point. I think I've missed the point of what we're dealing with here. When I was in college, I spent a summer interning as a youth minister for my home congregation. And so we were doing these devotionals, and I had big dreams for what we were going to do and how these kids were never going to forget these devotionals. And so one of them, we went to a battlefield. You go to a real live battlefield and have that battlefield experience. And then to drive it home, as we talked about our spiritual battles and what we were dealing with, I thought it would be great if we could give every one of those in the youth group a little green army man. You know, those little green army men, just they could take that with them. That'll be powerful, you know, and that'll be a little reminder. And so I went and bought some little green army men and was handing those out. And so we were talking. I was trying to wrap up this devotional about what it really means to be spiritual and to be in a battle. And I was trying to make sure they were all on the same page. And as I was taking questions and we were talking about real spiritual battles and what's something that you really have to deal with. And I still can remember. I remember who it was. And I remember that he was in seventh grade and he raised his hand. And I said, yes. And I called on him and I thought, this is really made contact. We're digging deep here. He's got something profound to say. And he said, I don't think I ever got one of those little green army men. Can I have one of those? I said, all right. So I gave him a little green army man, closing prayer. That's the end of the devotional, right? That's as far as we could go. He was missing the point of what we were trying to do. It wasn't about the little green army man. It was about a larger issue. What Galatians 1 reminds us of is it's possible to look at the message of Jesus, and if we're not careful, it's possible to miss the point. That's what was happening in Galatia. There were Christians who were struggling with missing the point of the gospel. And so you get a sense as you read through this first chapter that one of the things Paul wants to make sure that we leave this book knowing is what the point is. You've probably heard the expression of someone describing that they don't want to get to the top of the ladder, get to the top rung, and then realize that they've climbed the ladder, but it's been up against the wrong wall, you know, and their career or what they've been focused on has not been focused where it should be, right? We don't want to live the Christian life and be trying to do everything that we can and have missed the point of the gospel. And so as we are in Galatians chapter 1, as we begin reading, we're going to read the first few verses, and I wanted to challenge us as we read these to realize what's different about this letter. Now, obviously, all the letters we have in Scripture are inspired, and they're helpful for us. They teach us. But originally, they were occasional documents that were written to specific people, real Christians in real places dealing with real issues. And so Paul's going to address the specific things they're dealing with. The better I can understand what they were dealing with, the better I'll be able to apply these lessons to my life. And so I want you to notice that if you open up a lot of Paul's letters, you can begin with verse after verse of how thankful Paul is for the people he's writing to, about how much he appreciates them, how much he loves them, how he gives thanks for them all of the time. That section is absent in Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul gets right down to the issue. Now, a lot of times if we're talking about something that's maybe a sensitive topic or maybe unpleasant and we're sitting down with someone, we might have a preamble, right? We'll just be talking for a while and maybe compliment them and try to build them up a little bit before we really come in with the bad news. Paul goes straight in to the serious nature of what's happening. So we're going to start in verse 1. As these letters begin in the ancient world, you began by identifying the one writing the letter. We typically think of dear so-and-so. Here he's announcing who the letter is from. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. Amen. I am amazed that you were so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. He's diving into the serious issues that were at stake here. And I want us, as we walk through these verses and think through what Paul is saying, to find the ways that this could impact us today. The first thing we're going to pick up on as Paul describes his mission is that the mission really matters. Paul's mission really mattered, and he wanted to make sure that he knew he was staying true to it. It matters that we stay true to the mission. He identifies himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ and God, not men. Now, the term apostle simply means one who's sent on a mission. In a sense, all of us in here, since we've read the Great Commission, and we need to go into all the world, in a sense, we are all apostles. But in a sense of the word that we often think of, Jesus had 12 that followed him. And even though I tend to use the words disciple and apostle interchangeably, if we want to get technical about it, they're disciples until Jesus commissions them and sends them on a mission, and then they're apostles. But either way, Paul wasn't one of the original 12. And so he is sure to remind them at the beginning of this letter that he's writing as an apostle, not sent from men or through the agency of men, but through Jesus Christ. He's making sure they understand what his mission is. Now, Paul's often thought of as the apostle to the Gentiles, but it's interesting to think about his background. We mentioned this morning in the auditorium class. His background was training as a Pharisee, studying at the feet of Gamaliel, and when Paul goes into different cities to preach to them, where does he begin? He often begins in the synagogue, because that's where the people were who already believed in the God that created the world and already knew what we think of as the Old Testament. That's a perfect place to begin. But it also makes him uniquely equipped to deal with what was happening in Galatia, in the churches in Galatia. And you may have noticed that that's plural. So it's not just one congregation. There are churches in Galatia that are dealing with this issue. And as we piece things together, looking at what we can tell from this book, it seems that what was happening is the same issue that we read about in Acts chapter 15 was showing up for churches in Galatia. And so if you want to go ahead and flip over to Acts 15 and just get a quick reminder of one of the challenges that they were facing in the early church. When the Gentiles were receiving the message of the gospel, when they were becoming Christians, there were some men in verse 1 of Acts 15 that came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you were circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. They were struggling with this. And verse 5 tells us that there were some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed, who had become Christians, but they'd been Pharisees. They stood up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. So you have people who are now becoming Christians that didn't grow up the way all these Jewish Christians did. And so there were some people who said, you know, there were traditions that really mattered for us. Circumcision was a boundary marker. That was part of the Jewish identity. The dietary laws of clean and unclean foods, that was part of their Jewish identity. Keeping the Sabbath day was part of their Jewish identity. And so it would make sense if you had grown up that way. Now the Messiah had come. It's the Messiah you'd been waiting for. As you practiced Judaism, as you served the law of Moses, now the Messiah is here. Shouldn't anyone who wants to submit his life to that Messiah have to do what I did? Shouldn't they have to do what I did growing up? Isn't that the way it should work? And yet when we flip through the pages of Acts, we see clearly that things are different under this new covenant. Instead of meeting on Saturday, the church is assembling to worship on Sunday. Peter receives a vision from Jesus that is reminding him that all foods are now clean. Those clean and unclean laws aren't what they used to be. And so it was also important for them to understand that the Gentiles didn't have to keep all of the boundary markers of the old covenant in order to become Christians. Now, it's kind of hard for us to exactly date when the book of Galatians was written. And so you could wonder, is it written before the events of Acts 15? Is it written after the events of Acts 15? If Galatians comes after Acts 15, you kind of wonder why Paul wouldn't refer to what took place at Jerusalem, this council where they've decided what to do. But either way, it shows us the serious nature of this issue. And so there were people who showed up at these churches in Galatia, and they were claiming, you know, you not only have to do what we've been preaching, what Paul's been saying, you have to keep these boundary markers and the law of Moses as well. Now, we don't know if these were people who were traveling to Galatia or if they were just some of the Galatian Christians who were growing up thinking this is the way I did it growing up, this is how we should do it. But Paul's going to address this difficult topic, so he has to start by reminding them that his mission isn't from another individual. If people are arguing, he has to let them know, I'm not just representing someone else, I'm representing God. And so time and time again, he says that. Verse 1, he says, not sent from men nor through the agency of men. Verse 10, he says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of God. In verse 11, he said, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, as we read these next few verses, they won't be on the screen, but I want us just to imagine why Paul would feel the need to tell them about his background. Because notice what he says here in verse 13. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Now just pause right there and notice what God is able to use Paul to do here. Because Paul is trying to remind those who were really stuck on these ancient traditions that now we're under a new covenant. And he's able to say, listen, you know what my life was like. I was more zealous than anybody for these traditions. These things you're talking about that are so important to you, I understand where you're coming from. And he said in verse 15, when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then, 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, or Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they were glorifying God because of me. Now, typically, when we read through the book of Acts, and we see Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9, we think of that conversion, and we think, okay, right after chapter 9, then we get to what happens in these next few chapters, and Paul's at work, and then we read about Paul's life. We don't know as much as we'd like to know about Paul going to Arabia. We do know that 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us that Paul mentions a ruler under Aretas who was kind of in the area of Arabia who was seeking to kill Paul. So probably while he was in Arabia, he was doing some preaching there as well. And we don't know much about this time other than God is using it to prepare Paul. He'd studied under Gamaliel, who was an incredible teacher, but it's nothing like the preparation he was getting from God. And so Paul is making it clear over and over again what his mission is. His mission is truly from God. He's not there to represent what Peter thinks about things or what James thinks about things. He's there to represent what God has sent him to do. Staying true to that mission is what mattered. And the source of his message really mattered. So when he talks about an angel of the Lord, he said, even if an angel shows up and preaches something to you other than this message, he is to be accursed, anathema. This is serious language. And Paul doesn't just say it once, he says it twice. If I'm wondering whether or not it matters that I stay true to the mission God has given me as a Christian, it's important for me to read Galatians chapter 1. Staying true to this mission matters. Do I understand what my mission is? Am I focused on what I need to be focused on? It's so easy to get distracted. Staying true to the mission matters, but staying true to the message matters. Paul is saying they had lost part of their message. And I want us to spend some time thinking about this concept, because he says in verse 6, they're deserting the gospel for a different gospel. But verse 7, well, it's not really another, but there are some who are distorting the gospel of Christ. And then he says if they were to preach a different message, a distorted message, they would be accursed. What he's saying is it's possible to take the gospel and distort it to the point it no longer becomes the good news. So let's think about what was happening to the church in Galatia. They had distorted the gospel. If I were to ask you to define the gospel, how would you define it? Chances are you might think of what I think of. You might think of 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul describes what he passed on as of first importance, and he describes the death and the burial and the resurrection, and that's the heart of the gospel message. But I want us to think about this. Did the Galatians not believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Seems like they believed in all of that. So while that's the heart of the gospel message, there was another element of the gospel message that they were missing. And because they missed it, they were missing the point completely. So just flip over a page or two in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. We'll get to chapter 3 later, but I just want us to get a glimpse of what he says beginning in verse 7, when he's talking about those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. And then verse 8. This scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Isn't that interesting? The gospel, the good news that we typically think of, associating only in the New Testament, Paul uses that to describe the message Abraham got. Abraham got the good news from God, and what was it? That all the nations would be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. What part of the gospel were the Galatians not getting? They were struggling with the all nations shall be blessed part of the gospel. They were struggling with the fact that even from the beginning it had been God's intention that Abraham and his descendants would bless every nation. And it's so easy for us to point our fingers at those sometimes we describe as Judaizing teachers who were trying to bind these elements of the old law. Some even read the book of Galatians and see it as Paul being just critical and attacking Jews and Judaism. But he's not dealing with Jews. He's dealing with Christians who are still struggling with these Jewish traditions. And what do I do with them? And so he's wanting to make sure they stay true, not just to their mission, but the actual message of Jesus Christ. And if you say, okay, you can have Jesus, but you also need to do circumcision, and we'll need to do the dietary laws, and of course you want to keep the Sabbath and the law of Moses. Paul's saying you've misunderstood not just one aspect of the gospel. He says you've misunderstood the gospel. In other words, Jesus plus something else equals a distorted gospel. That the gospel that was preached to Abraham that's fulfilled in Jesus doesn't require any of these traditions from this old covenant, but requires us to live under the new covenant. And there's something else that I think is a good, an important illustration for us here. This emphasis on circumcision reflects, I think, our human tendency to be really focused on things we do. And I've done this, and we've done this, and there's something about what we've done, and it's as if by doing that, we think this action that I've done is what saved me. And so Paul's reminding them that it was never circumcision, it was never eating the right foods. It was never the Sabbath that saved them. God saved them. God is the one who was leading them. He commanded them to do those things, so they did it. But their observance of those things didn't earn them a place as God's chosen people. God is the one who was doing that. And we might have the same tendency even today. It's important for us to understand what people did to become Christians in the New Testament. It's important for us, I think, to make sure that we're teaching people what they need to know about Jesus and that they're willing to stand up and to confess and to really turn their lives around and put Christ on in baptism. All of those things are vitally important, but it's God who saves us. If I am baptized and walk away from the baptistry and think, well, because I was baptized, I've really done something, and that's what's going to save me, then I've missed the point that God is the one who saved me. Now, I want to be saved and be submissive to his will in the way he's instructed me, but God is the one who's at work. And so to hold on to these vestiges of Judaism as if somehow doing those things, that's what made us really faithful. And if Gentiles want to really be Christians, they've got to hold on to this, then we've missed the point that Paul is making here. And it's a fundamental understanding of the gospel. When we change the good news, it stops being the good news. Now, how does this apply to us? Because from a distance, it's really easy to diagnose the issues that were taking place, these congregations in Galatia, these Christians. We can see that. We've got historical distance. We've got cultural distance. The concerns they have don't seem like big concerns to us. So what would be some things that we might be tempted to add into the gospel when we share it with others? Is it possible that I might want to share God's word with someone, but I also want them to do some other things that aren't connected with the gospel, that are just connected with me culturally? You know, sometimes we might think in order for someone to really be a Christian, they have to act like an American Christian. You see this struggle, especially on the mission field, sometimes where you're coming in and you're sort of not only sharing the message, but you expect them to respond to it and to organize things the way we do in America, and yet every culture is different. A few years ago, when I was in India with Jonathan, we were looking for a place to eat one night, and we walked into kind of a mall, a shopping center area, and they had a Chili's restaurant there. It was a Chili's. And it was designed, you could tell, this was a place they were going to go to have the American experience of eating at a Chili's. And it was interesting because when you stepped into it, it was a lot like eating at a Chili's, but it was like eating at a Chili's from 20 years earlier in America. You know, the music videos were on, and I was thinking, well, I haven't seen those, you know, videos in a while. But it was trying to, like, recreate the American experience. You know, and everything seemed kind of dated, but they wanted people to, this is what it feels like. Sometimes when we take God's word into different cultures, we want them not just to accept God's word, but also our culture with it. And here's the way we do things in our culture. And yet, what missionaries find out time and time again is every culture is different. The truth is the same. Christ is the same. But they don't have to become American to become Christians. They just have to accept what God has called them to do. We might think for someone to really become a Christian, they don't just have to change their lives and line it up with what Scripture teaches, but they have to change their lives and line it up with the way I live my life. So I expect them to look a lot like me. I might expect them to dress a lot like me. Maybe to think the way I think. Maybe I expect them to vote the way that I vote. I've got a lot of issues that I feel strongly about, and so not only do they need to respond to the gospel, but they also need to do things kind of the way I'm used to doing them. I think if we go down that road, we're falling into the same temptation to take the message of Jesus and then add something else and say, not only do you need Christ, but you need this other tradition, you need this other idea, you need this other thing that I think is important and valuable. And before I tell people how important or valuable something is, I need to ask myself, is it part of the gospel? Or am I adding to it? Am I distorting things? Am I telling people, you don't have to just become a Christian, but you also need to think the way I think about all of these other matters of opinion? I think Paul challenges us here to make sure that we don't do that, that we stay true to our mission and we stay true to our message. And notice what he says in verse 24. I think it's a powerful way to end this verse, maybe for us to end this lesson tonight. And they praised God because of me. What's the goal for Paul? What was his goal? Was it to be able to say, you know, since my conversion, I've been able to baptize X amount of people, or I've been these places, and people have been really impressed with the way I preached and the way I taught? Paul said his goal was for people to glorify God because of him. When I stay true to my mission and to my message, I'm not trying to exalt myself. I'm not even trying to exalt this congregation. I'm proud of Graymere. But I'm not here to try to exalt a congregation of God's people. We're here to exalt God. We're here to have hope people praise God because of what we do. That was Paul's goal. It was his mission. It was his message. Staying true to it really mattered. So tonight, it's worth asking ourselves, am I staying true to my mission, to my message? If not, what do I need to change? It may be that you need to respond to the same message that Paul was sharing. It may be that you need to put Christ on in baptism and become a Christian who seeks to live for him and to serve him. It may be that there are ways we can pray for you or ways we can encourage you. Let's make sure that we leave here without missing the point, that we're reminded of what makes the good news good and that we want to share that with others. If there's any way we can help, please come as we stand and as we sing together.